Hi everyone, and welcome to the We Localize podcast, where we talk about all things related to multilingual content, translation, localization, and the technology that helps this process. My name is Louise Law, your host, and today I'm talking to Joe Tyler, who has not only participated in a groundbreaking clinical trial, but also works within the life sciences industry, developing language programs for We Localize clients. In this podcast, we're going to explore Joe's experience with Friedreich's ataxia, which is also known as FA. And this is a rare neuromuscular condition. And we're going to talk about Joe's experience with that and his involvement in the clinical trial for a new drug, which was the first ever therapy aimed at slowing down FA progression. So Joe, hi, and welcome to the We Localize podcast.
Hi, thanks, Louise.
We're talking to you in Missouri, that's correct, isn't it?
Yeah, that is correct. I'm in St. Louis, Missouri, about a mile away from the Gateway Arch. So that's what we're known for, in the Cardinals.
So Joe, could you kind of tell the listeners a little bit about your experience living with FA, which is Friedreich's ataxia, and kind of your decision and your experience participating in this clinical trial?
I'll start out with what is FA, Friedreich's ataxia. FA is a debilitating, life-shortening, degenerative neuromuscular disorder, about one in 50,000 people in the US. That number correlates over in Europe as well, and in South America and India. It's estimated that there are about 25,000 affected individuals worldwide with FA.
It's quite rare then, Joe, that's right.
Yeah, very, very rare. You could say I'm lucky in that sense, right? Being diagnosed with a rare disease. There are downsides to it. So I have what's called late onset FA. So FA for me did not show symptoms until my early 20s. I am currently 42. In my early 20s, I started to develop a loss of coordination, just sort of an imbalance. Started to find out why. So I went to multiple neurologists in my 20s, misdiagnosed quite a few times. And then finally, when I was 31, I was officially diagnosed at Washington University in St. Louis with FA. The doctor, I actually found it just by looking at my eyes, seeing astigmatism in my eyes. And then we did a lot of, you know, nerve conductive studies, which aren't very fun. It's where they put a needle inside your calf and like shock your calf muscles. When they sent my DNA off for testing, they discovered the genetic mutation within my DNA, which causes FA. So again, I had mentioned I have late onset. That's actually rare. There's, I want to say about 20% of FA patients have late onset. 80%, the majority of FA patients show signs very early on in life. It affects children, which is probably the most devastating part of the disease, where symptoms show up when they're 5, 6, 7, and by the time the children are, you know, 12, they're in a wheelchair, 16, they're in a power chair. So,
and that this has obviously led you to take part in a clinical trial to help anybody experiencing FA and to help anyone reduce the effects of it. That's right.
After I was diagnosed, my wife and I, we don't have kids. So one way I can give back to the community is by participating in clinical trials, whether that be, you know, clinical outcome measures or drug safety trials. Immediately after I was diagnosed, I participated in quite a few trials.
So that led you to taking part in the clinical trial for the drug that has recently been licensed called Skyclaris, along with you and the other members of the patient advocacy group, which is a POG, as you were telling me, for people that are experiencing FA. So could you talk us a little bit about that journey of taking part in the trial and how that eventually led to the drug becoming licensed? Because I know it's so important, super important, and the importance of patient data for global clinical trials.
It's a super cool story. So when I was diagnosed with FA, actually up until last year when Skyclarys was approved, there were no approved therapies or a cure for FA. It's tough being diagnosed with something that is degenerative and there aren't any approved therapies. Hence why I participated in clinical trials. I did quite a few trials at UCLA, so CHOP in Philadelphia. It's Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. And one drug that I participated in 2017 at UCLA was developed by Reata Pharmaceutical. And I'm going to butcher the name of it. Amoxilovimone. It's hard to even say. But now that it's approved, and we'll get to that story, it's called Skyclarys. So in 2017, I participated in the phase 2 study of Moxie, we called it. I was on drug for, I want to say, 3 months, then off drug, and it was very safe. It seemed effective, but because I was on phase 2 and the study designers did find safety in the drug, the FDA approved an open label extension, OLE. Right. About 100 of us that were participating in the drug trial went on the open label extension for a number of years. And all of us, so within FA is the POG, the patient advocacy group that you had mentioned earlier. That's Cure FA. You can find that at curefa.org. And the patient community and the researchers are all very, very tight. It's a very tight-knit group. We all know each other. We all talk. So all of us who were on the open label extension were feeling better. We're feeling improvement. We're looking at friends and brothers and sisters that have FA that are not on the open label extension. And we're not getting as worse as they are. So we all kind of thought, hey, this might be the first approved therapy for FA. And the FDA denied the approval a couple times, primarily because of the limited amount of patient data.
There was data from 100 patients then?
Yeah. Okay. Data from about 100 patients. And that was... it was tough to take for the FA community because we all saw improvements using the drug. We all saw the safety of the drug. So we just thought it should be approved. And then COVID happened, right, in 2021.
Yeah.
And that delayed the process even more because the FDA had pushed a lot of the approvals for some of the other diseases down the line and moved COVID right up. And then 2022, late 2022, the POG and the FA community penned a letter to the FDA. So the drug, Moxie, was developed by a company called Reata Pharmaceuticals. And so Reata and Cure FA and all the patients sent a letter to the FDA with 74,000 signatures of patients, families, friends, researchers, scientists, requesting that Reata submit an NDA, new drug application, on an urgent basis, and the FDA consider approval of the NDA. And I'm getting a little choked up. It's pretty emotional thinking that 75,000 of your brothers and sisters are there pushing for a therapy. That was 2022 when that letter went out. And the FDA finally approved Skyclarys in early 2023.
I mean, that's an incredible achievement from the community, isn't it? And like the power of the crowd.
Yes.
A lot of people wouldn't realize that some of the activities.
There was a ton of work on the back end that I'm glossing over from Riata, from CareFA, from advocates, legislators in the U.S. Congress. But at the end of the day, we achieved approval.
So the drug Skyclarys was FDA approved in 2023, Joe, is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct, Louise. So January of 2023, the FDA granted approval of Moxie, again, now called Skyclarys, for Reata Pharmaceuticals. That was a huge, huge milestone for the FA community, mainly because it shined a light on the FA community by showing everyone that, hey, here's the first approved therapy. We had an article on FA in the Wall Street Journal, front page news. So for a rare disease, news is really good.
What incredible strength and courage from the FA community to kind of push that. That was primarily, obviously, FDA approved. That's for distribution in the US, Joe, is that right?
Yeah, that's a great point. So the FDA approved it in the US in early 2023. At that point, Biogen purchased Reata Pharmaceuticals. Mm-hmm. Biogen is a client that we work with here. We localize. So that really helped fast track approval in the EMA, which Reata had approved or got Skyclarys approved in the EMA in February of 24 this year. Having that larger pharmaceutical partner is going to help get Skyclarys approved in India, South America, some of the other areas of the world where FA patients live.
That obviously highlights the importance of a drug not just being approved in kind of one country or, geography, but also to make sure that the FA community benefits from a worldwide basis as well, which, as I can imagine, is a challenge when you've got a relatively rare condition where, as you said before, some of the patient data will be limited because you just don't have the volume of people who can take part in a trial.
You're kind of hitting on the point as to why I do what I do, why I love working with, CROs and pharmaceutical firms within the localization world. And what we do here at We Localize is helping trials become more global. So localizing consent forms, study protocols. It's fun for me because as a patient of a rare disease, I see the true impact of having a larger patient population within your clinical trials. It's obviously going to help get drugs approved, but you're going to reach larger patient set, which every firm should at least try to do.
I'd like to just reiterate to the listeners as well that obviously you've taken over the few years, you've taken part in these clinical trials, whilst at the same time, you still actively very, very much work within the life sciences organization, as you said before, with a lot of pharma companies, CROs, working at We Localize, you develop language programs for a lot of these big life sciences organizations. So it must be invaluable to be on both sides of the fence to kind of really know how these trials operate, some of the challenges, as well as kind of somebody that's working with these organizations.
Yeah, it's definitely challenging, but I get the advantage of having the patient perspective. When we're helping our clients put language programs together, the advantage of not only seeing the trial be localized, helping the client localize that trial, but also the advantage of looking at it from a patient's perspective, because I do participate in so many clinical trials on my own. It's really gratifying and cool to see. And that's, Louise, that's why I love what I do, because obviously my role in participating in the MOXIe trial and seeing the FDA deny the drug, even though I could feel that it's making me feel better, I could talk to the patients in the trial and see that it's making them feel better. But then at the end of the day, see the FDA want, you know, more data. That's frustrating. I understand that perspective from the FDA. Like, they want to make sure the drug has efficacy, has safety. But from a patient perspective, like, you want to get that drug approved because it feels so good.
It's personal, isn't it? You're seeing the benefits of that.
It's personal. It's emotional. And then when you're developing language programs for some of our pharma and CRO clients, it's incredibly rewarding because you understand that emotional risk that, you know, the highs and lows of getting drugs denied, getting drugs approved.
Yeah. And the importance of language as well, because there's these drugs getting approval across borders that the element of language communication and the translation becomes an important part of that overall process.
Yeah, think about if Reata could have done the trial in Italy and Greece and France and Spain and localized all that content, we may have had a larger patient population through localization. That obviously didn't occur. A lot of times there's cost barriers to that for smaller pharmaceutical firms. But yeah, that's kind of the rewarding part about what we do here at We Localize, is helping those firms get drugs into the next phase.
I think just as we chatted, Joe, over the past few days, it's been really good to hear the significant role of the community, the FA community, and the fact that it's very much a strength, and that having those patient advocacy groups, not just in your area, but all over the world, it sounds like a really good thing.
Yeah, that's a great point. The impact of POGs, patient advocacy groups, partnering with pharmaceutical firms greatly enhances the ability for trials to occur, for trials to move forward. So I had mentioned that letter to the FDA and Reata signed by the FA patient population with 75,000 signatures. There's other patient advocacy groups. A very well-known one is the Michael J. Fox Foundation for Parkinson's. So these patient advocacy groups really work directly with the patients to develop a voice, get their information out in public, raise awareness, raise funds for research, which is a vital part of getting drugs, therapies approved, is what these POGs do. As a patient, we can't thank them enough. They work tirelessly pushing for funds for research.
What next? Presumably you continue to be active in with the FA community and continue to do great work.
At FARA, I'm on the leadership team of the FARA Ambassador Program. And what that program is really a program for FA patients. Well, we've got about 60 to 70 folks all over the world that are in the FARA Ambassador Program. And we assist them with getting ready for speaking publicly about FA. We assist them with writing letters to thank researchers. We get together on a monthly basis just to talk about news events within FA. It's a really, really cool, unique program within the POG where we help patients have a voice. And also just, you know, helping spread that awareness across the globe. So one thing we did within the FARA Ambassador Program, we've got an international group. So we meet monthly at about noon here in the U.S. With our international brothers and sisters. So a lot of our over in Europe and Greece and India, we all join a call and just talk about all things FA.
Well, Joe, thank you so much for joining us today. I've really, really enjoyed speaking with you and hearing your story. It's been absolutely fascinating. It's an amazing story. Well done. For the listeners, there are links on the articles that Joe's mentioned in the groups on the We Localize website on the blog page if you want to find out a little bit more information. But Joe, thank you again for being an excellent podcast guest.
Thanks, Louise. Hopefully we'll see you soon.
Definitely. Thank you.